Back into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host Corey Kinnon alongside Dalton Miller as always. Today we're doing a little more hot takey. We're getting a little hot takey again. It's another Daft or Draft. Again, those unfamiliar with Daft or Draft, it's basically like buy or sell, right? So we're going to present a bunch of hot takes. It's the off season, so some will be football related. We'll throw in a couple non-football related ones as well.
To be honest, most of them are football related this week.
They are, yeah. And we're going to decide, are we dafting them or are we drafting them? Dafting, obviously, would be selling. Drafting would be buying. So, Dalton, how are you?
I am fan-freaking-tastic. We got the movers set up. We know when they're coming. We have other ways to get like our clothes and stuff home. We're saving a little bit of money by packing a little bit less with the movers and like doing the clothes ourselves. So we're figuring that part out. We're really actually quite excited about getting back to the United States at this point. We're ready for our last hurrah. We're doing pictures tomorrow on the beach with the young lady who did our maternity photos. She was phenomenal. So we're going to get some sunset pictures with the kiddo in them and the dog in them. So very excited about that as well. And I am excited to talk a little bit of football here today because I watched Texas today. And listen, Texas offense doesn't have a ton of names to talk about, but everybody who is a name is a dude. So yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch those guys today.
Awesome. Well, let's dive right in. This is a perfect segue. The first Daft or Draft is about Texas football. So there we go. From Cryo Friend, I believe your Discord, I saw you were watching some Texas film today. Does Texas extend their running back draft streak to 4 years and six running backs drafted in 2026 with Wisner and or Baxter? Daft or Draft? I guess to form that as a hot take and not as a question, Texas does extend its running back streak to 4 years, six running backs drafted in 2026 with Wisner and or Baxter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one? Because they're both underclassmen.
I think Wisner's going to go.
You do?
Dude, he's so much fun, man.
He's freaking dog.
All right,
he'll punch you in the...
And it's so funny. The minute I started watching him live, like not even now, but it's like that dude is Isaiah Pacheco, but like better, like more refined, like a more under control version of Isaiah Pacheco. Like he's 6'1", 190. Like that dude should not be able to run the way that he does.
He runs mean. And I worry about his explosiveness, but he runs mean.
So I do, but I don't. Okay. And here's what I mean by that. With that, and we'll talk about it in depth when we actually get into the Texas offense next week, the top gear is not there.
No.
Like the big play explosiveness is not there. But from gear one to gear four, the ability to get to the edge and capture the edge is there. The ability to hit the home run is not, but he is a great doubles hitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the crazy thing is Baxter's the better running back. He was probably the best running back on the roster last year, but he got hurt. Yeah. We're talking about a true junior and a redshirt sophomore here. So Baxter's a redshirt sophomore. Wisner's a true junior. But again, Baxter, he's got the juice. He's got the juice.
But I'm glad Baxter got hurt because it landed Jadon Blue in Dallas.
It did. It did indeed. So here's the thing with running backs too. It's a little different in the NIL era, but even NIL running backs, like they're not getting $1 million in NIL money. They're not. So if you're a running back, you're going and you know, you're going to get drafted. You're going. So I'm going to draft this as well. And I wouldn't be shocked if Baxter's like a top 50 pick by the end of the year.
Yeah. Again, yeah. I mean, both of those dudes are dudes and it's an unbelievable offense to be insulated in. So
yeah, for sure. Wisner, probably a day three pick, but how early on day three would be the question. Just because, again, that top end speed, I don't see there, but my God, he'll punch you in the mouth. Like, he's that kind of running back, so I think he's probably like a day three pick, but still a good freaking mean football player.
I would draft him. I don't see any difference between drafting Rashad White in round three and him in round three.
Interesting. I can live with it. Can live with it. All right. Next one. We're moving to South Carolina here. We've got
We're not moving to South Carolina.
We
talk about Clemson, but we're not moving to South Carolina.
We're shifting our focus question-wise here to South Carolina. We've got two Clemson questions here. First one comes from Bill Sparks. Clemson will have two top 10 defenders drafted in next year's class between TJ Parker, Peter Woods, and Avion Terrell. Two in the top 10.
Draft.
I think I want to draft it.
I want to draft this, and I haven't gotten deep enough into the class to really get a great feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I know those three names. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I know those three guys can freaking play. So right now I am going to have to draft this. I also believe that I don't love the quarterback class a ton. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many quarterbacks go near the top. And I don't see any wide receivers that I love near the very top. And like, we're talking about Jeremiah Love, a running back going top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these top end defenders, it could be another high end defensive line heavy.
It could be
here.
It could be. I'm going to draft it. I'm going to say, well, hell yeah, to Peter Woods. TJ Parker really turned it on at the end of the year. If you go back to some of the beginning of the season stuff, it's not stellar. And I don't think he's the top edge in the class. But again, we could have more than one edge in the top 10. It happens all the time. But two in the top 10, I'm going to draft it. Avion Terrell's good too. But unless you're like a transcendent corner, you usually don't go top 10, right? Like, we're talking Pat Surtain. We're talking about J.C. Horn. We're talking about Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley. Those are the guys we're talking about going top 10 over the past few years, right? Do we think that Avion Terrell is in that tier of corner as a prospect? I'm not 100% sure on that. So Peter Woods is like, yeah, top 10. The other two, one of the two maybe, but I'm going to draft it for now. Moving on to the second Clemson one. Clemson will have the first defensive tackle and the first edge selected in the 2026 draft. I'm going to draft this one too.
Yeah, I'm going to draft this one as well. There's so many names at this point that, like, where we are right now, I'm just going to err on the side of the field than anything else. We have an entire college football season to play again. And we don't know what is going to happen. So it's lofty expectations. I mean, all of these are lofty expectations. But I truly believe for the team to have the first edge and the first defensive tackle out of 133 Division I schools, like, I just find it kind of tough to believe.
Yeah, I'm going to draft it specifically because I think Keldrick Falk is really good at Auburn. Inside-out versatility as well. TJ Parker's good, man. But again, as I said, like, he really kicked it on late. And if he plays a whole season like that, yeah, he could be the first edge off the board. But right now, I'm not betting against Keldrick Falk to be that guy because he's 6'6", 288. He could play edge. He could play defensive, like, five tech. He could probably kick into three if you wanted him to. So I'm going to be a Keldrick Falk believer here.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of other guys who could step up and end up being that number one guy as well in this class. I mean, even a guy you talk about inside out, out versatility, somebody like LT Overton, if he takes the next step as well, there's somebody at 275 that has a little bit of bend. So yeah
for sure. All right, moving on here.
Justin R5 here.
Yeah, let's go with Justin R5s here. A little quarterback talk here. Draft or draft, Carson Beck will have a similar rise and regain top pick status as his predecessor Cam Ward after transferring to Miami.
Daft
or draft?
Daft. It's 100% daft. Not that I don't think that he can recoup some of his NFL draft stock, because I do think he can. If he comes out and he plays clean the way that he did, that made him. And listen, I think part of the reason why he was talked about as the top pick going into last year is because he played so clean. He played on a national championship team. He was a bus driver, and he was a darn good bus driver. And you can survive like that at the NFL level. I think that he has adequate NFL tools. I don't think that they are above average. I don't think he would ever be anything than an average NFL quarterback. He needed to be able to show that he could pick apart windows and really push the limits last year. And when he tried, he failed miserably. And so he can be the bus driver. He can be like the career backup type guy. But he just doesn't have the athletic ceiling anywhere near Cam Ward did. He doesn't have the arm Cam Ward did, the creation ability Cam Ward had. He needs to play pretty much perfect if he wants to be a day two pick going into the 2026 draft.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. For some reason, NFL scouts have a second round grade on him, on the Blesto grades, which is bizarre to me.
I don't even know if he seems so much like a Mike Winchell to me. Like, does the guy even like football?
That is a big question. Yeah, I'm drafting this hard. One, I think you could be even skeptical of his fit in an offense that has pioneered Justin Herbert and Cam Ward. And now we're talking about Carson Beck in that offense as well. I think there's room to have some concerns there. Yeah, big time daft. Big time daft here. You mentioned the average tools. And again, I think you said he has to play perfect to kind of be the bus driver. And one thing with Beck is that he constantly kept making the same mistake over and over and over and over again.
Last year.
The moment they rotated a safety, there's a robbery, he's throwing it. Like, it was like almost like an instinct. You saw a safety rotate out and you're like, well, he didn't see him. Like almost every single time. So yeah, I'm pretty skeptical. Pretty skeptical there. So we're going to daft that one too. We got two more football ones and a fun one here, Dalton. So next football one here from Andy in my Discord here. Subscriber to the Daft on Draft Substack. Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love is a top 10 pick in the 2026 NFL draft.
Draft. I'll take it. I think he's talented enough. Mm-hmm. I want to. It's tough because I think NFL teams might want to see a lot more pass pro and pass catching. But as a runner, here we go. As a runner, I don't know if I have seen a more naturally gifted runner in my time doing this since Nick Chubb.
Ooh, I like that take. I mean, he's gifted, man. He's creative. His eyes are always working.
He's like a metered version of Saquon. Mentally, where like he has that big play creation ability, but he doesn't get outside of himself to do it either. Mm-hmm. It's really, really impressive the way that he balances it. And now he's not 230 and he doesn't have the quads, but he's also incredibly explosive as well. So, yeah, I don't see why he couldn't be.
I just think that's going to be the trend. Like, teams are getting back to wanting to play some big boy football here. You know, 2023, we had a first round or a top 10 pick. 2024.
Yeah.
Did we in 2024?
Oh, no, I was thinking this year was 2024.
So we had one in 2023, 2025,
mm-hmm.
2024. We did not. We didn't have a first-round running back last year. The first running back off the board was Jonathan Brooks at 46 overall last year. But also, that's just a pretty weak running back class.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the difference. So, like, you can compare historically, and I think we can. But, like, there was one second-round running back and one third-round running back last year. Trey Benson.
I mean, Gibbs went 12th.
Yeah, Gibbs went 12th.
Corum and he was a part-time back at Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to draft this as well, just because like the NFL, when they see dominant runners between the tackles who are creative with their eyes, they value it and they take it. We've seen it a million times. So, again, twice in the last 3 years. So, yeah. And again, we're trending in this direction where quarterback play is getting less explosive and teams are, you know, if you want to put two safeties up top, we'll just run the ball. Like that's where we're getting back up to. So,
and he can hit a home run, whatever, man.
Oh yeah, that Indiana game. He was on one leg in that Indiana game, and he busted what was it like a 90-yard touchdown run in that game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm drafting this as well, Jeremiah Love. If he has an identical season to last year, even identical, top 10 pick. All right, last football question here from Jim W. of DraftProfessor.com. The 2027 quarterback class will be better than the 2026 class.
Yeah, it's always there's always a grass is greener type of thing.
Right? Yeah,
But I'm gonna draft this, and it's because I just think a lot of the guys who could come out this year, and we've talked about this ad nauseum at this point. I just think probably more guys are gonna stick around these days. Mm-hmm. I think more guys are gonna just stick around, and everybody you look at from this class that you are really excited about is an underclassman.
Yeah.
And some of them are third-year sophomores. So, like, yes, I believe that the 2027 class is going to have more names in it than 2026 unless Manning comes out and is just undeniable. But, like, even guys like Sellers could easily go back to school with how young he is. Childs. Back to school. Like, who of these older guys are you really that excited about? Because I'm not excited about any of them, really.
Well, Fernando, but he's a redshirt junior. He could go back.
Redshirt junior. He could easily go back.
So I think he will declare. Again, Nuss is like the high floor guy in the class, but I think that's how I look at Nuss. Like, I dropped his weighted on target percentage profile, and he's not like last year, he wasn't very accurate with the football. I appreciate Nuss because he's willing to just make any throw. He's got that mentality, and I appreciate that about him. But again, he's not an athlete. The arm talent when he's on base is good. When he has his base beneath him is good. But I think when he gets off platform a little bit, you start to see a little bit of a flutter. So it's not like his tools are exceptional either. Is up like his arm talent's exceptional. He's a very natural throw over the football. I will say that though.
Yeah,
but I'm not like overly excited about him. I like exactly. He's 6'1", 200 pounds. With like a very soft shell, I think is what I would call it, like a very soft shell. So like not a lot of room for body development. So he's your low ceiling, high floor shot in this class. So we're talking about Cade Klubnik or Drew Aller as the guys to really get excited, or Fernando Mendoza to get excited about outside of that.
And you got,
again, I'm really excited about
really Fernando hope Mendoza. You got to really hope and pray if you're religious about those two. So
yeah. Yeah. I like Cade. The NFL community at this point, from what I've gathered, does not like Cade as much as media. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm going to draft it too, because again, we've talked about the NIL stuff. These guys are making $4 million a year to play college quarterback. There's no reason, unless you're going to get that. What is 1.1? The guarantees on 1.1. It's like, it's a ton of money, but unless you're guaranteed to be in that range, there's no reason to leave $4 million on the table. And again, I like the tools of the younger guys, man. We might see one or two of them come out this year between Sellers, Childs, Levitt, Iamaliava. Iamaliava's got a long way to go. One of those guys could, but most likely those guys are 2027 guys. So yeah, let's push it. Let's make the grass greener. Let's push it down the road a little bit here.
And we didn't even talk about guys who aren't even eligible right now, like DJ Lagway. Like
Lagway, yeah.
Yeah, Lagway.
Who might be the best pure quarterback in the nation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on very limited sample size, that guy is what they look like. So, yeah. All right. on to the last one here. And this is a football. This is a food question, I should say. This is a non-football question. This is from Tyler Fornes, the real Forno. Tyler says, Daft or Draft, tavern-style pizza is the best pizza out there. This is a pretty easy Daft for me.
Yeah, this is an easy Daft for me as well. What's your favorite?
So Chicago-style, for one. I'm a big cheese guy, so like, give me Chicago-style. I also really
the
like
fake Detroit Chicago-style pizza. Yeah, the deep, you like the deep dish, fake deep touristy dish. Pizza.
Sure. Yeah. I also really like the crispy, thicker crusted Detroit style pizza.
You know, I'm glad you said that. And this just goes to show that we might be the same person. I don't consider it pizza. I consider it topped focaccia.
Ooh.
Because that's kind of like what that. It is.
It's basically what it is. Yeah. But yeah, Detroit.
But if you're calling it pizza, it might be my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I love bread and I love focaccia, and it is like the best of both worlds for me between pizza and bread, because I am such a crust guy. But because I am such a crust guy, a good New Haven style pizza with crispy crust, it's like New York, but it's crispier. New York kind of flops down, is a little bit
blasted. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
A good New Haven style pizza is the best pizza that you can get, and it's not particularly close. That being said, what I will say, Tyler, is that tavern style pizza is very underrated. I do like a square cut piece of pizza. I will say I do enjoy that.
The context of a tavern style pizza usually involves a lot of alcohol as well. So like, there are times when it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and you're like on your second or third bar, and that's what's offered, and you're like, yeah, give me a freaking tavern style pizza. I do understand. I understand the context of a tavern style pizza as well. But if it's like dinner on, like for the family on a weeknight, it's like, I don't want tavern style pizza.
I got one more quick one.
Okay, go for it.
One more quick one. And this one is from me. Hot wings are the best game day snack or meal.
Can it be chicken wings in general? Or do they have to be hot wings?
Yeah, they can be chicken wings if you don't like spicy food.
Yeah, I don't like spicy stuff. Yeah, I'll draft that. I'm trying to think. So like, if I'm at a restaurant or something like that, some deep fried cheese is always on the menu as well, but I don't consider that like a game day snack, you know, or like fried pickles, but that's not a game day snack. That's like, I'm at the bar watching a game and I want something disgusting that's delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's kind of a game day snack, but like, I'm thinking like queso and things of that nature really is what I'm thinking of.
Then I'm drafting it. Yeah. Chicken wings all day.
Oh, but like over pizza. That, because pizza is a game day meal too. Like, we're talking pizza, we're talking tacos, we're talking all of this is kind of game day stuff here.
I will draft it still.
I'll draft it as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
It'll make you feel a little less disgusting. For me, hot wings are the most superior thing that there is. It's like a religious experience for me on a Sunday. You just get some hot wings and say, screw the calories for the day. We're going to go high fat, high protein is what it is. Probably going to be my only meal for the damn day, but we will survive. We will adapt. We will improvise and we will overcome. We love it. We love hot wings that much.
I don't love spicy stuff, but I do love a good chicken wing. I'm more of a boneless guy though, too, which is just a chicken nugget. I understand it.
It is just a molded chicken nugget, but boneless wings are delicious.
With like a garlic parmesan. I usually go for like a Carolina Gold or a garlic parmesan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can mess around with either of those. So yeah, that's some good food talk to end the podcast here.
Yep. And all right. We'll be back. So I don't eat everything in the pantry.
Yeah. We will be back next week talking about the Texas Longhorns and their 2026 potential prospects and what that looks like. So Dalton's gotten a head start. He's already said he's really excited. So I'll knock it out this weekend and we'll chat. But until then, thank you guys for tuning in so much. keep on tuning in. We appreciate the listeners. So until next time, this has been the Daft on Draft Podcast.